is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Ireland, the visit of the President of the United States, Joseph Biden, 12 to 14 April. The occasion is the celebration notation of a very important treaty agreement in 1998, 25 years before, the Good Friday Agreement. The visit was both in the Republic of Ireland and momentarily in Northern Ireland, which is the United Kingdom. Therein lies a story, and I welcome Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. He is in his native Australia, far away on the southern hemisphere, enjoying the fall weather, winter coming on, looking at the Indian Ocean from Perth. At the same time, all eyes on Ireland because of the disruption that the president's visit caused in Northern Ireland, perhaps in the Republic, but certainly in London and the United Kingdom. Gregory, a very good evening to you. The first episode that is critical here to understand the Biden administration's opinions of the United Kingdom, is the flags on the official limousine used by the President of the United States at all times, called the Beast. Two flags on the front. Routinely, you tell me your flag when you're visiting, the flag of the United States and the flag of the host country. That was not the case when the president visited Northern Ireland. What was there instead, and what does it mean? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. In fact, this is deep symbolism and deeply meant symbolism in this particular case. President Biden's landed first in Northern Ireland at a British Royal Air Force base and drove into Belfast with the Beast. And the Beast was flying the United States flag, as is common, but the flag on the other side of the hood of the car was the presidential seal flag instead of the United Kingdom flag. Now, we know that this was not just that it was the car was just coming out of the United States and still had the Washington flag on it, because when the car was taken down the next day to the Republic of Ireland, the president chose to have the U.S. flag and the Irish Republican flag on it. So this was really a message designed to say to the Irish and to the Irish American communities that Northern Ireland is part of the Republic of Ireland, part of Ireland as a whole, and not part of the United Kingdom. And President Biden has made that sort of view clear for some time, but it's just one of the many areas where he's shown his particular hostility to the United Kingdom. Of course, President Biden plays on the reality that he's actually an Irish American, as all good Democrats are. The reality is he's actually only partly Irish, and he's also partly English for that matter, but he politically identifies in the United States as an Irish American, and this has been very good for him in his PR. But it's also been very good for him to be able to play that up in his treatment of the United Kingdom by having firstly a state visit to Ireland on the anniversary of the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, and it was just a working visit to Northern Ireland. All well and good. You could say the flag didn't matter that much, except that it followed hard on the heels. This fairly long state visit to Ireland played hard on the heels of President Biden refusing an invitation to attend the coronation of King Charles III on May the 6th. And basically the way in which the invitation was rejected, with the possible offer of Jill Biden, Dr. Jill Biden, going to represent the president, or a delegation, as President Biden said, as though a delegation is what is going to be accepted in Westminster Abbey for the coronation. It's basically going to be a room full of very few heads of state and senior aristocrats and the like. So it was really a snub, an ongoing snub of President Biden to the UK. And why this is important is because the United States, the United Kingdom and Australia have signed this brand new and very dramatic Global Strategic Alliance, AUKUS, Australia, United Kingdom, United States. This is the most significant security pact to be signed in the past 50 years. It's more important than NATO because it's a global alliance of three supposed allies, each with a special relationship with each other, and of course, the US and Australia with the UK. But it shows that President Biden doesn't take this special relationship seriously. After all, President Biden also, in the weeks following the creation of AUKUS, met on an official visit with then Prime Minister Boris Johnson, who flew to Washington, and rejected very, very firmly the suggestion that the UK and the United States should have a free trade agreement between them as special partners. So basically what we're seeing is that the AUKUS alliance, which is now going extremely well at the operational level between the military and the intelligence communities of each of the three countries, is going extremely badly at a political level, largely because President Biden doesn't care about it. He has withheld assets for the U.S. military to be used in support of AUKUS, namely to contain the People's Republic of China. And he's basically shown that he doesn't particularly care for or about the United Kingdom. And there have been a multitude of other instances where he's snubbed Britain in no uncertain terms.
I want to mention one of them, Gregory, not to go past it. The dispute long-running between Scotland and Whitehall and Parliament about the treaty several hundred years ago joining the two kingdoms. I believe the president has voiced support for the separatists in Scotland, or at least he's not spoken out clearly that the United Kingdom is vital to remain intact. And that is as sensitive an issue as now as I believe the Good Friday Agreement was 25 years ago, because there is a new leader at the SNP. The SNP has suffered reversals in recent events, and that new leader is pressing the case for the separation of the two kingdoms, of the two sovereignties, and the president has not spoken out. In addition, Gregory, you make the point in your essay that there's nothing particularly U.S. about nuclear power or nuclear weapons. If I recall my history correctly, it was the British scientists who were first working on these matters, and it was taken over by the Roosevelt administration primarily because it gets it out of Europe and the U.S. had the money to develop the program. There's no U.S. stamp on nuclear power plants or nuclear bombs. Do I say that correctly?
You do indeed. In fact, the original nuclear weapons program, the atomic bomb program, if you like, was begun, as you say, in Britain, and with the support of the dominions, the major dominions, Canada and Australia, both of which worked heavily on the program. Australia providing a lot of the uranium for the initial efforts. Yes, it was shared with the United States very openly, because Churchill was, in fact, far more open about that than history has given him credit for. The United States, as it moved ahead with the Manhattan Project, which again involved the key allies, did try to close off any return of the favor, if you like, from the Manhattan Project back into the British atomic weapons program, although the British were sufficiently well advanced to be very early in the game with the second nation to have nuclear weapons, of course. So, yes, Australia then at that stage dropped out of the nuclear equation, largely for political reasons, and have only just now, with AUKUS, resumed their entry into the nuclear field, particularly in the area of nuclear power generation for submarine propulsion.
Right. I want to explore Australia then. We've established that Joe Biden is not a friend of the United Kingdom, whatever the relationship is to be determined by historians. We turn to Australia because it has been and remains vulnerable to the disruptions of the People's Republic of China's Chinese Communist Party. Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. I'm John Batchelor.